On Friday night, the guys were here, and we had the concert, and we got to spend most of the day with them. And what a wonderful blessing it is to us to have these groups to come in. And they enjoyed themselves. They were here on the side before we got started. We were having a little fun. We were playing with them. And then later in the concert like that, I love it when Ricky was talking about his grandfather and the church that he'd been to and young. And he says, the way you play that music and the way he says, in that church, that wouldn't have gone over too well. That there'd been a whole lot of raised eyebrows and a whole lot of people that would have some things that maybe not. But you know what? It's what you have in your heart. If you're going to sing, you got to sing from the heart. You know, you have to have something within you that God can use through His Spirit to touch others. I believe that. I want to share just a little bit. Except I don't have a Bible either. We don't have offering plates and we don't have Bibles.
Which Bible? I'd like to have one. Well, I've got mine over here. You know.
I'm going to tell you what I don't like about church. Plain and simple. People are always asking me, and we have conversations, and they're asking me to describe the church. Tell me about your church. You talk about people, say, well, tell me about your church. And the older I get and the more that I've been around churches for so many years, I'm realizing what I absolutely love about church. And we kind of went over that a couple weeks ago because everybody was helping me out. Because remember how we did that? Take your hands. Now come on, you folks that remember. Come on. How you do that? We did this. Now what? This is a church and this is a steeple. Now what do? We open doors and what? All the people. And Hunter's looking at me like, what is this? What is it? I drove all the way up here for this. I love the people. Love the people. And when you come into God's house and you feel His Spirit flowing through the people, through the people, through the people, it just warms your soul. And I was kind of amazed that these gentlemen and that were here last year, and I'd seen them down at the Quartet Convention in September, and I hadn't seen them for a few months. And it's amazing to me about how, and for those of you that, and if you're a Southern Gospel fan, that's great. If you like the way we sing, that's great. If you don't, that's fine too, but don't tell us. But it's amazing to me how I cannot see someone for a long period of time. And I know you have this in your own life with people, friends that you have, and you don't see somebody for a long time, and then you see them again, and it just takes but an instant, and it's almost like you're right in the middle of the sentence where you left off at. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Have friends like that? Good. You have friends, and to me, what makes such a difference is because I have something inside me that resonates with what they have inside of them. And I just love it when I'm around God's people, and some of them I haven't seen in a while, and as soon as you see, boy, the smile comes, the warmth comes right. And I think that's one of the beauties of being around churches, being around God's people. The warmth, the freedom that you have to come into His house, to have handshakes, to have hugs, to shed a tear when you need somebody to shed a tear with you or for you. And then I'll tell you what I've learned in my life of what I don't like about church. And it comes right out of God's Word. I want to read just very quickly. Last week we were talking about being a fan or being a follower of Christ. And we were trying to impress upon how we want to try with the best of our abilities and desires to be a follower of Christ, not simply just a fan, not just to know who he is and know a bunch of church things, but to actually be a follower of God and his will and desire for us in our lives. And we were asking questions at the end, where is your treasure at? Knowing that so many times I've seen a mother or a grandparent who I've seen over at work, I've had folks come in who are working their job and working another job, and I said, why are you working so hard? Well, I'm trying to make a better life for my children than what I had. There's a lot of internationals that I deal with, and folks that come in from other countries having an opportunity to work extra jobs. Why? Because I want something better for my children than what many grandparents who, boy, if you really want something, go find grandpa, go find grandma. Why? Because that heart is open, that heart is warm. And that's usually where the money is, right, too? That's where the money is. Yeah. Bob has grandchildren. He knows this. He knows that. But you see how, where is your treasure? And we were asking the question about where do you go when you hurt? When something really going bad, where do you go? And we asked, which makes you so excited? What just gets you, what do you just actually get thrilled about? And then what frustrates you the most? It's really a way for you to look inside and tell about how you are dealing with the things that God places upon your heart. And then I read in the 23rd chapter of the book of Matthew. It's not the one that's written in your bulletin today, so that you don't have to come correct me later on. But then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not. They say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Heavenly Father, add a special blessing under the reading of your word today. Open our minds, hearts, so that we receive that from you. In Jesus' precious name. What I don't like about church, when you talk about this scripture, and it's a difficult scripture because it talks about how Jesus, and everybody has a wonderful idea of Jesus in their mind, and what would it be like to have actually heard one of his sermons, and would he have been like that, you know, Mr. Rogers thing in a wonderful neighborhood, and like, or do you picture in your mind and heart the way that I see him? Simply telling the truth and telling those that have ears to let them hear. Straight to the point. Not kind of bouncing around, just straight, difficult, right to the point. Things that would hit you right here. And you got to think about who he's talking to. He's referring to a group called the Sanhedrin. It's about 72 men. And they were Sadducees and Pharisees. These are nice little church terms we use. And the two groups were different, and they really didn't like each other. The Sadducees were men who had been born into their lot. They were the elders, the church priest. And they were very liberal. And then you had these gentlemen who were the Pharisees, completely different. They had worked very hard for their position. They were the most learned individuals of the day. They learned they could quote the scriptures. Some of them, the whole scripture itself, the whole Testament, be able to sit there and just simply quote it. And neither one of them were right. The Pharisees, being very strict, these are the rules we'll go by. They knew exactly, asked the question, they had the answer. Boom, this would. But it says here, and when Jesus was preaching, he starts out and he says, the scribes and the Pharisees, they sit in Moses' seats. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. Do exactly what they tell you to do. And I know those Pharisees and Sadducees, they're, oh yeah, he's finally got it right. He's finally given us the proper place in his teaching. And then the bad statement comes. He says, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for as they say, they do not do. The problem with churches. I was, there was an article, and I wrote, read this article, and it was fascinating to me. It was a little story about Andre Agassi. Hunter, you know who that is? Good. Well, evidently you're going to learn something in church this morning. See, I thought Hunter was a big tennis fan. And Andre Agassi, how many know, heard the word Andre? Yeah. No, now you heard. I just say it now, Hunter. You don't. In church, right? Yeah. Okay. Good. All right. Well, good. That's, I love honesty. That's good. Never. And he was, he'd written a story about My Secret Life. And he talked about how that from a very young age, his father had pushed him into playing tennis. And hour after hour, they would practice. And he knew that his father was grooming him to be a wonderful tennis player. He turned pro when he was 16 years old. He won numerous cups. But he said, you know, he said, I never really liked it. Because it was not what I chose. It was what was chosen for me. And he said when you'd practice, and sometimes even at a young age, he'd make sure that he hit a shot off the edge of the racket, it would go over, and so that he could just take a couple moments break there, because his father was relentless in practice. I know people have been around churches all their lives because of that's how you were brought up. That's what was expected of you. It is not what you chose. And I've seen people being very frustrated in churches because of the pressures being placed on them, rest of the folks in the church, your families. And then you have these gentlemen, Pharisees, the most learned, quoting all the scriptures, but not having anything inside, nothing inside. I think we simply need to make a decision on what is going to motivate us in God's house. And I believe without a shadow of a doubt that it is the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ that's going to make the difference. You may have learned things as a youth. You may have wonderful things in your mind, certain rights that you feel that you have. But I tell you one thing, it's the relationship. It's the relationship that counts. Rules. Anybody ever heard about rules around churches? Yeah. And more, I am seeing churches who are kind of waking up and they're realizing. It's such an impression to me when we walk in on Friday night And I told the guys, we had every seat was filled, and we probably at least had 20, 25 people from Mount Calvary here too. So that was good. That was good. And he asked me, he says, where do these people come from if they're not from your church? I said, I asked the same question myself. But I'm glad they do. And people who come in and they walk right in like, Pastor, I'm here. It's concert night. I'm here. I missed you. You haven't had a concert. And I'm here. And they are ready. They are ready for a concert. And they go back to their own church afterwards just full of God's love and His Holy Spirit, because they can come in, be themselves, and not worry about who's going to look at them, who's going to judge them, who's going to make some comment. Gay told me something on Friday night that happened that just kind of floored me. There was a fellow that was here Friday night for the concert who was deaf. And the whole concert, his wife simply signed each word of every song. Think about it. Think about it. A couple years ago, I was over at the new stadium, the baseball stadium. And I think it's up in about the third level. There's a gentleman who sits, and during the whole game, to the lovely lady that sits next to him, who is blind. Right, Claude? Yeah. The whole game, you know what he does? He describes every play that goes on. That is real. That is real. That's not the rules. That's not the rules. You can be so right in the rules, but are we going to be governed by rules, or are we going to be governed by love? I read a wonderful story about a fellow named John who walked into a bank. I'm getting close, Terry. Everybody see the clock on the back wall? Ha! It's not there. But I got my watch. And good. I thought for sure somebody would walk in right at 12 o'clock. I was going to say, hello. No. And we should have had nap time. We were thinking about having nap time in the middle of service day, but we didn't do it. Everybody's good. Everybody's kind of alert. I read a story about a fellow named John who walks in a bank. Walks in with his jeans and he went in and asked to do a transaction, and the individual that he needed to do the transaction was not there that day. They evidently called in sick. And so as he was leaving, he stopped and asked the teller, he says, would you mind validating my parking slip? And she says, well, it is not our rule here to do that because you have not officially performed a transaction. He says, well, I came here with the intention of dealing with some banking business, but the individual that I was supposed to meet, they're not here today. She says, well, by the rules, you did not perform a transaction, so I cannot validate your... He says, okay, I would like to do a transaction. His last name was Akers, and he was the chairman of IBM. And that day, he closed his account at that bank, over $1.5 million. And after he had done that, he went back to the lady and said, now I have performed a transaction. Would you be so kind to validate my parking slip? You can get the rules right. You can have it in your mind when you walk into church how it should be, or you can be governed by love. You can be governed by warmth. You can be governed by what you feel inside of your heart and what God is leading you to do. I don't know how jobs are going to turn out, Brother Rich, but I'll tell you one thing, God does. And it's going to be okay. You might have to preach more. Stand around. God doesn't have a job. Just going to have to preach more. I don't know what. I don't know what is in store for us in our lives, but God does. But I know one thing. When I have the opportunity to get together with God's people in His house, and I am motivated not by the rules, I am motivated by love. I am looking forward to a relationship and working on that relationship with Him. I'm not designed to be led by guilt, but by grace. There was a wonderful Christian teacher who, and they had a wonderful Christian school, and in the senior class, in the chemistry class, he decided, you know what, he says, I'm going to do something different. And the teacher was reading some items, some devotionals from Charles Stanley, and he realized about he didn't really fully understand and grasp grace. He says, I'm going to try to help my students understand grace. So when they walked in for the test, for the chemistry test, he says, now make sure that you read the whole test through. And as they read that test through, at the bottom it says, you can take this test and try to make an A. Or you can simply place your name on this test and turn it in, and I will give you an A. And the writer who shared this little article, he says, glory to God for Charles Stanley. He says, I knew when I was reading down through the test that I had not studied enough. He says, I knew it wasn't going to turn out too well for me on this test. So he said, praise God. I just simply signed my name and turned it in. He says, but you know what? He says, there was a girl in the classroom that didn't like that. She had studied. She had studied. She had put her time in. Wasn't fair that everybody else was going to get an A just by putting their name down. So she stayed and she took the test. Some people are so led by guilt. By guilt. And trust me, they will want you to share in their guilt. Amen? Amen. Come on, I'm talking to you. Shake your head a little bit. You know what I'm talking about. I want to be led by grace, grace, grace. I want to focus not on the rules, but I want to focus on love. Then I don't have any problem following the rules. We got couples in here today, and I know these couples are happy, and I know when they got married, I solemnly swear that I will in sickness and in health and forever, as long as I'm in goodness and, you know, all those rules, all those things. And then they get married and they realize there are other rules too. Come on. Come on, Rich. There are other rules too like that. I will not make fun of my wife before 10 a.m. I will know. I will not. Terry, see here? You just got him over here. Yeah, the toilet seat will always stay down. There will be no reason for it to ever be up any time. Come on, these are real things you talk about. A man must realize that to the untrained male eye, two dresses may look exactly alike, but you will have an opinion on which one you like the best. Doesn't matter. You will have that opinion. And when you're in love, you don't have any problems following any of those rules. Amen? Because you just love that one you're with. That's what you're supposed to nod, guys. That's what... Come on, hit him harder. Hit him harder back there. Make him nod. You don't have any problem following the rules when your heart is in the right place and you're motivated by love. Amen? Amen. And that's the things that we don't have here at Mount Calvary. Somebody asked me, what is Mount Calvary? I said, I'll tell you as simply as I can. It's everything that I never liked about church, not having it. I like songs that move. I saw Joe Volga coming up here, and he was like, it's carpet, but he was cutting a rug. For those of you who don't know what that phrase is, I'll tell you later. I like music that moves you. I like people who speak from the heart. I like people, when they're going through struggles, they tell you. And I love a church, when someone is hurting, they simply wrap their arms around and love them a little bit more. I like people, when they come into a concert on Friday night, they look forward to something good happening. Somebody come by me from this church, he said, "Brother, I drove all the way up here from Colonial Beach, and I'm here on time because of the concert, because I just want to be here." That's the way I want to see people start in. And if you do that, you will be amazed about what God will do for you in your life. Amen? Amen. Skeet, if you'll come on up to the piano there, I want to pray. Then we're going to do a beautiful hymn together. It's 397, "I Will Serve Thee." But first of all, I just want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Heavenly Father, we have been in your house. We have heard your word. We have sung praises unto your name today. And God, hopefully, you've heard our cries and our pleas. Because God, you guarantee us within your word, as we are gathered two to three together in your name, that you are in our midst. And God, we felt you today. Now, Heavenly Father, allow us not to be chained by opinions and rules. But God, let us be governed by love, by love. For they will know we are Christians by our love that we have one for another. Hear the prayer request again that we made earlier, God, and especially for those that can't make it here today. We think of Jane, think of Martha, we think of Robin. And Heavenly Father, allow us to be challenged to do more for you. Give us safe traveling mercies as we leave this sanctuary today. And God, let us continue on in love with you. We ask this in Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said amen, amen. Let's stand and sing 397, "I Will Serve Thee." Then we're dismissed. 397.
I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me. I will serve thee. You have given.